4 tonight in your Bibles, Galatians chapter number 4. I'm again going to preach a message on great words of the Bible, great words of the Bible. We're going to read the first 7 verses of this passage of Scripture, the first 7 verses. And I want to see if you can pick out which word in there tonight I'm going to preach on, okay? Now, I'm sure by the process of elimination, somebody's going to get it, okay? And so whoever that is, you see me after the service, and I have got a dum-dum lollipop for you, okay? So you be ready and on top of this for this guest tonight, all right? Galatians chapter number 4. We're going to read the first 7 verses of this passage of Scripture. And so follow along tonight as we read. The Bible says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for the Bible tonight. I pray your Holy Spirit will guide us tonight as we open it and as we look into it, and Lord, just dig a little deeper in what it means tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll take thy word tonight and just meet each one of our needs with it tonight. Lord, there's some here probably have a burden, probably carrying a difficulty, and maybe some tired or weary tonight. But I know thy word, God, gives us rest, and it gives us the peace that we need in our lives tonight. So we ask that, Lord, you do a powerful and wonderful, amazing work tonight through thy word, and use it in our hearts and our lives tonight, I pray. And Lord, we'll thank you and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now let's see who can guess what the word is. All right, I saw Tiffany. She's first. Go ahead, Tiffany. Heir. Tiffany won it right off the bat. She got it. I thought somebody was going to look at verse 6 and see the word Abba. And by the way, that simply is talking about being papa or daddy, crying to a spiritual. I thought somebody was going to say that for sure, or even the word adoption, but no. So notice again verse 1. I want you to see the word. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." And then we see in verse 7 the same word again. "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Now, you may not understand the significance of what Galatians is talking about, but what it is actually saying, it is actually teaching here in chapter 3 and chapter 4 that the Gentiles have entered in to the promise that God had given the Jews, and that the Gentiles have become also the heirs of God through salvation. Now, this was a completely foreign concept, because the Jews believed, and the Jews had this mentality about Gentiles, that they were just lost, that they were hopeless, that they did not have the same spiritual understanding of God that they did, and certainly the Jews were God's chosen people and really still are, but they had this mentality that the Jews were almost hopeless, that they were, they even called the Gentiles dogs. And that's the degree at which a Jew thought of a Gentile. And so they thought, the Jews thought, that they would be the heirs of Christ, that they were going to be the heirs of God, because there is scripture that teaches how this becomes, how someone becomes an heir in the Old Testament. Now, we've read the Old Testament, and you'd be surprised. The word heir is only used one time in the Old Testament. But there is another word in the Old Testament that has to do with an heir, and it is the word firstborn. Now, you all know the story of Jacob and Esau, okay? You know the story. Now, in the Old Testament, the firstborn was the heir, and he was called the firstborn, and everybody understood that the firstborn was the heir. Now, there were some occasions where the firstborn did not become the heir. In Scripture, sometimes, on a rare occasion, it was passed off to the second son or the third son. And we know in the case of Jacob and Esau that Esau sold his birthright. Now, notice that word birthright's important because it means that through birth, he had gained the right to become the heir. He was the firstborn. Okay? Now, the third heir in the Old Testament who received, and when I mean heir, I mean somebody who receives all that his father has given him. And so, in the Old Testament, this birthright was given to the firstborn, and on very rare occasions, it would pass down to the daughter if there were no boys or no brothers involved. So that is why in the Old Testament, it was a good thing to have a son. Because after all, you don't want to give all that money to the daughter, all right? And that was in a little bit of a way what they thought of a firstborn in the Old Testament. So if you were a firstborn, you typically, as a male, you had the birthright because you were born first. And thus, you became the heir of all that your father had. Now, when we come to the New Testament, we see the word heir used many times. I think it's used at least 12 times in the New Testament, the word heir. And so, why did it change? Why was the word birthright or firstborn used in the Old Testament? And now this word heir comes in and it welcomes in the Gentiles. Now, you can imagine what a Jew must have been thinking. And probably this was one reason why many Jews reject Christ, because he was teaching that in him, even the Gentiles become the heirs of the promise of Abraham. So I want you to see this. Look at verse 20, chapter 3, and look at verse number 26. Chapter 3, verse 26 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond or free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if," here it is, "and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Now, notice, in the New Testament, you become an heir through the promise of God. In the Old Testament, you became an heir as you were the firstborn, received that birthright. So how did that change, and what is the significance of this word heir? So I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm fixing to show you. Hebrews chapter 1. Go over to Hebrews chapter 1 with me. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. And I want you to see, we're going to follow this word heir in the New Testament and see the significance of it. Hebrews chapter 1. And let's look at verse number 6 in this passage. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6. Or verse 5 to get the context. Or actually verse 4 to get the context. Okay? Backing up. Hebrews 1 verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Now notice what he's saying here. He is equating Christ with the firstborn when Christ came into the earth. Jesus is that firstborn that came into the world. Now go to Colossians chapter 1, the book of Colossians. You remember how to find that, don't you? General Electric, Pepsi-Cola, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All right. I'm speaking to Baptists, so you got to get it on more of a carnal level sometimes. All right, Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse number 6. I'm sorry, verse number 16. Notice, for by him were all things created. Now it's talking about Jesus. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, and watch this, and for him. This earth was created for the glory of the Lord. That's what it says. Now notice verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, who is the beginning, the what? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So we see this pattern of the firstborn transferring in the New Testament to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is this firstborn. The earth was created by him. It's his. He owns it. He is the heir, so to speak, of the earth. Jesus is the heir of the earth. All right, now stick with me. Ephesians chapter 1. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 13. Notice what the Bible says here, Hebrews 1, or Ephesians 1, 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, he's talking about us, okay? After that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. See, you got the Holy Spirit inside of you when you got saved. Amen? And by the way, you're sealed in the Holy Spirit. It's sealed. Amen? That means he doesn't get out. He's sealed. All right? But now notice verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It doesn't say the earnest of his inheritance. He said he is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now the Bible says that God here purchased us. That word earnest, it's like a pledge, or it's like earnest money. All right? How many of you ever had to put down earnest money when you bought something or bought a home? That's a pledge. That's a promise that you're going to pay that, you're going to follow through on the deal. It's a pledge. It's a promise. And this is what God did before he died on the cross. He became the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, it's talking about now, through Christ, we then, those who are saved, let's talk about those who have trusted in Christ, we then became part of the inheritance of God when we got saved. I'm going to tell you something. When you got saved, you didn't just get a ticket to heaven. You didn't just get the Holy Spirit sealed inside of you. You didn't just get that. You got a complete inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're rich. We need a new building, so fork it over. Amen? God is teaching us here, we became, through the firstborn, Jesus Christ, we became adopted into the family. That's what we read. Through spiritual adoption, we became part of the inheritance of God, and now we are no longer called a servant, but now we are called sons. That is what it means to be an heir of God. We are part of the inheritance that God gave Jesus, who has all authority and power in this world. And from that, when we trusted in Christ, we received part of his inheritance, and we became heirs with Christ. Ooh, that's good. All right, go to John chapter 6 with me. The book of John. We're going to look at some more scripture. John chapter 6. And look at verse number 37. John 6, verse number 37. Notice what it says. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Can you lose your inheritance? You can't lose it. What if you sin? You can't lose it. That is why the prodigal son was welcomed back by the father instead of cast out. It's because he still, even though he received his inheritance, he was still his son. He was still adopted. He was still in his family. God gave God the Father gave all these things to the Son of God. And the Son of God, through our faith in Christ, we're adopted, and then we become part of this inheritance that God has given us. What a blessing to know. Hebrews chapter 12, go over there. Book of Hebrews chapter 12. I turn to lots of scripture, you will stay awake a little bit better. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse number 23. Notice here, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. We're from the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. By the way, what he's saying here is we are part of the church of that firstborn. That firstborn of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're part of his church. Amen? Now let's tie a few other things together. Go to Ephesians chapter number Romans chapter 8. Let's go there first. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. Oh, I'm still in Hebrews. Sorry about that. Got to get over here to Romans. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at verse number 17. Romans 8, verse 17. Notice what the Bible says. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. And notice this, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So if we're God's children, we're saved. And he's talking about the saved here. And by the way, have you ever heard the phrase people say, we're all God's children? That's a wrong statement. We are all God's creation. But we are not all God's children. You have to be adopted into the family to be God's child. You have to be in the family. Amen? And if you are adopted in the family, you become the child of God. And if you're the child of God, then what does that mean? It's saying that you become an heir. But get this, you are a joint heir with Jesus himself. All that the Father blessed Jesus with, you and I become co-owners with God. You say, what does that mean? That means we get the privilege to walk on those streets of gold. Amen? Because we are co-owners. Hey, we're all co-owners of those streets of gold. Amen? We are co-owners. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that because we're firstborn, we have the privilege of God in that we become his firstborn. I heard a story about a very kind king back in medieval history who traveled through the streets of his city, and he was looking for a poor boy to help. And he was driving through the city, he saw a kid in rags. And as he saw this child in rags, he stopped the chariot. He said, pull over. And the king was adorned in his gold robes, and he opened the door, and he saw the little dirty-faced king and a child, and he was in nothing but rags. And the king asked the boy, he said, son, would you like to come live with the king? And the little boy said, sure. So the boy got up, he got in the chariot with the king, and away they went to the palace. They brought the boy into his new room, glorious new room, with all of the new clothes and everything hanging on the shelf. But the king noticed something different about the little boy. Every day when that boy would first come down, he was all clean, all dressed in royalty clothes. But as that little boy walked down that stair every day, the king noticed that every day he had tears in his eyes. And every day he noticed the same thing. The boy would come down with tears in his eyes. And finally, one day, the king wondered why that was happening. And he went to the little boy, and he spied on the little boy. And he hid behind his in his room, and he watched the little boy. And the little boy got up morning and put on his royal clothes. But as he did, he saw those old rags that were hanging up that he used to wear, hanging up on that shelf. And it brought tears to that little boy's eyes to know that he didn't have to wear those rags anymore. But he was now in the king's family. He became a joint heir with the king, and he didn't have to wear those rags anymore. I want to tell you something, Christian. You don't have to wear the rags anymore. We don't have to wear the rags of this world. Jesus gave us a whole new wardrobe. He took us from the streets, put us in his chariot, gave us all things. By him all things consist, and by him all things are freely given to us. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God we are no longer servants, but we are sons. And God did that because he was the firstborn, and through us being saved, we're adopted into his family. We become his children. And that's what gives us the right to become the co-heir of God. And let me say this, had Christ not saved us in salvation, we would not be an heir of anything. We would still be lost and undone. We would be hopeless. There would be no opportunity, no ability whatsoever to have anything or be anything. It is all because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. And the gracious goodness of what God has done, we became heirs of God.
Good.
Now let me tell you something. I think this truth can help change our prayer life. Because when we go in prayer, we're not praying as a servant. We're asking as a son. I believe if we have that attitude, God will do some wonderful things. You know, I notice as a father, it's once again time for one of my kids to get married. And it's Lauren's turn. Thank God, she's expensive. Amen. And you know, what I notice is... she has these little things that she wants in her wedding. But guess what? They all cost more money. You know what? For some reason, if I have it, it doesn't bother me. I don't mind doing it for her. If I have it. Amen. If I don't, you better go to plan B. Amen. But there's something inside of a father's heart that wants to be good to his children. There's something about a child going to their father. And see, when we pray, we're praying for everything. By the way, I believe that's how God's going to bless that new building.
Amen.
Give us a building. Because we just need to get busy asking God. Because we're co-heirs and joint heirs with God. And he told us we can come to him. Whatsoever you ask. In my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, I really been praying that God would open up those doors for a new building. And I believe it can be done through prayer. I believe that. Because we are heirs to a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. They pave the streets up there with gold. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go to God in prayer, God has a way, I believe, a special touch for his own children. A special touch for his own children. And boy, I want to tell you something. I believe we pray with this understanding and this mindset of God, I'm not just a servant. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. And Lord Jesus, I pray and ask you to do this. You know, sometimes I think we pray as if we're some foreign person from a foreign country, asking a foreigner, somebody we don't even know, when really the truth is, If you're saved, you're a joint heir of God.
Right.
And I believe God is willing and able, and God desires to give good gifts unto his children. God desires that. And I believe that anything that we pray for, God says, God's told us in the book of James, you know, to ask, and it shall be given unto you. Ask, he said. Keep on asking. And by that word means ask and ask and ask. Just keep asking. Amen? Don't quit asking. Just keep on asking and asking and asking. If we just keep asking and asking, not as a servant, but as a son of God, every day, I believe God answers these prayers. So let's pray that way. Let's pray in everything, because it's a different relationship to whom we're praying. The relationship isn't a servant anymore. It's not a foreigner. It's not a stranger. The relationship is that we are God's children. And we can go to him in that type of prayer. Do you know the Bible even talks about a husband and wife? 1 Peter chapter 3. Do you know the Bible says that a husband and a wife are heirs together of the grace of God? Do you know that? They're heirs together. You have inherited in marriage, you and I have inherited something of the grace of God. And that is a special relationship that God gives us as a husband and wife. But that also means that there's a special relationship that we have with God when we go to God in prayer and ask God for our needs and what God wants to do for us. You see, it's a whole lot better to go to God saying, God, I'm your son. Would you answer this prayer? That does a whole lot better. Amen?
Amen?
You know, if a son, though, is wayward, you know what that father wants? That father wants to be good to him, but when that son is wayward, that relationship has to be made right, for that father wants to pour out his goodness to his son. The relationship has to be right. You know, that's, I think, many times why our prayers get hindered. It's not because God does not want to do good things for his people, but it's because oftentimes that relationship with God is not right. It's not right with God. And I tell you, in every aspect of our life, we need to seek to keep that relationship right, because that is often a hindrance in our prayers. And you know what? We don't want to have our prayers hindered. Amen? We want there to be a free course going all the way up to heaven in the prayers that God has given us. So we're not just heirs, or we're not just servants. We're heirs. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's a powerful statement when you understand what Jesus has done for us. When Jesus says that we are equal with the faith of Abraham, he also made that promise to Abraham that he would continue his seed forever and ever. In other words, God is saying through faith in Jesus Christ, we are partakers of that same promise. That's how I know I'm not going to lose my salvation. Because if I did, God would be a liar in that statement right there. That's how I know it. So as we walk in our life with faith, we know and have the assurance when we pray that our Father is not going to kick us out. We are partakers of that promise that God has given us through Abraham. And that promise is good enough for us to walk as a son, a daughter of God. I believe if we grab a hold of that thought, it'll change a lot of how we act in the Lord. Certainly doesn't mean that we live boastfully or proudly, but it means that we live like that little boy did. Like that little boy who saw the rags that he used to wear every day and now doesn't have to wear those rags anymore. And that's the kind of God that we serve. The King has been good to us and made us joint heir in Christ. And by the way, the Bible touches on some of the things that we're going to see in heaven. But I got news for you. I have not seen nor ear heard the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, listen. I want to tell you something. It's going to be more amazing than we ever thought when we get to heaven. You and I, it's like now we're seeing black and white. We get up there in heaven, it turns to technicolor. Amen? It opens our eyes what we're going to see. And that's because we are heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a promise. Amen. What a great truth to know we are joint heirs with Jesus. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes in prayer tonight.